You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're going to start talking about universal truths. You know, a lot of times we hear those words together, and we wonder exactly what that means. You know, when you have a universal truth as such, it's something that's true all the time. It's something that is constantly true and radiates truth. And so I'd like to talk about tonight a particular universal truth that I think might hit home with a lot of people listening. And that's because we want to do it. We want to do something. When you're doing whatever you're doing in life, you do it because you love it, not because what's in it for you. So think about that. You do things because you love it, not necessarily because there's something great in it for you, that you're going to have this big payout at the end. And I think it's interesting that there's a lot of situations I've been in my whole life where you meet people and they're great people and they're fun to be around, but it's all about what's in it for them. And you can tell. You can tell a difference when you're around people that are in it because they love it. They're in it because they love what they're doing. They respect what they're doing. It matters to them to change the world. And on the flip-flop, you can feel it. And if you don't feel it by now, open your eyes, you know, put up your antennas and start realizing when people are really in it for themselves. And I know that Bill and I've talked about this a billion times in our relationship of almost 3 years of us working together, about how we meet people sometimes. And they can be, some people just be the most amazing people, while other people just seem like devoid of all type of feeling and emotion. And it's almost like they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to ask those people, why are you here?
Yeah.
I mean, the people who just exist. And that's kind of a sad existence, don't you think?
Well, I was at a meeting recently, and it was interesting because I saw how everybody was really happy and go-getters, and everybody seemed really cool. And then there's always that one person that you can tell.
The Debbie Downer.
Kind of, but yeah. They don't act like it. But yeah, you can tell it's all about them. Okay.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Everything turns to them. Yeah. Everything's about them. And the reason why they're there is for some sort of personal gain. Okay. It has nothing to do with saving the universe, helping people be healthier, any of that stuff. But it's like, it's interesting. And I think a lot of times this particular person might actually kind of hide out from other people. Like, I don't think most people actually catch on what they're doing. Okay.
Well, now, are you talking narrowly about doing like charity type work? Or are you just kind of, broadly speaking?
Very broadly speaking, okay. Here, because like even in business or in work, so I know people listening right now know that there's always been, you know how it is when somebody asks you to do a favor.
Sure.
And I don't know how many favors I do in a day, but yeah, ask you to do a favor. And, is the first thought in your mind, okay, I'll do it, because it's my friend or yeah, I'm there. Or is it what's in it for me? Okay, and a lot of times those what's in it for me thing, it just irritates the crap out of me.
Okay.
Because these people that are all, it's all what's in it for them. And I understand that some people are always going to be like that, but it is kind of a sad existence. I mean, either you need to find what you like in life and do it and get out of doing what's in it for you, or I don't know, I guess maybe I'm hypersensitive to that. I can feel it. I can see it on somebody. It's almost like a scent.
You are the most empathic person I've ever met.
Really?
Yes. I mean,
cool.
You're like Deanna Troi on Star Trek. I mean, it's like you know what somebody's feeling, before you even talk to them, I think.
I could stare them down and take, and I've had that happen recently before where, it's funny, you have all these people talking altruistic things, and then you have that one person over there, and the only thing they're talking about is money. That's it. It's all about how much money they're going to make, or they're not going to do this because of the money, or they're not making enough money, or what have you. And that becomes a problem.
Yeah. And and their whole existence is about, the almighty dollar.
Power.
Yeah.
Or the prestige.
Right, right.
I want my name on this wall. It's not because I want to help the kids have a theater center so that inner city kids could go and have theater where they wouldn't necessarily have that and could get out of the house while mom and dad might be doing drugs or dealing with a not so good situation in family life, being able to have some sort of outside source. Instead of that being the real engagement reason why they want to do this, it's because their name's going to be in lights on the side of a building.
Yeah. They want his or her name to be on the marquee.
Yes.
The Joe Blow Center for,
Kids that can't read that good.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know,
and want to learn how to do other things good, too.
Want to put their names and lights on every single building that they can. You know, this. So, in other words, you know, all these you know, buildings become basically billboards.
Exactly.
You know, parks and streets and, you know, whatever else they name after the guy.
And it's interesting. I think it's interesting because it's one thing to donate a lot of money and do it because you want to. And yeah, they put your name on there because they do it. It's a different thing to do all this because you want your name up there.
Right.
And that's where I want to start tonight's conversation is, you know, you have to do it for the love of life. You have to do it for the love of the game. And I think a lot of people go through life thinking only about what's in it for me. They don't do it for the love of life. They don't do it for the love of the game. It becomes like this empty feeling for them, though, which is funny because that's why they start getting that direction. They're always so wanting something, and they feel like they can't get it.
You know what the image popping into my mind right now?
What is it?
It's the Amen pew. You know what the Amen pew is?
No.
Okay. And of course, you know, remember my background. I come from West Texas, right? So
Amarillo, actually.
Right. Actually. You know, great town, by the way. If you're ever passing through I-40, you know, give a stop.
give it a ganders.
To the mayor of Amarillo, I'll expect my, you know, royalty paycheck, you know, any day now.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, you know, so I have a background in, you know, Protestant Christianity, okay? And you know, I'm still a regular churchgoer. And the joke is, you know, especially in the South, all right, the Amen pew is where it's the front pew facing the preacher.
Okay.
And the choir.
Okay.
Now, of course, if you really want to get in good graces of the preacher, then you're in the choir. But the people who like to, you know, fund everything and get all the attention, they're the ones sitting in the front row. You know, directly in front of the preacher, okay? That's the Amen pew because they're the first ones to jump up. Hallelujah, amen. You know, that's why it's called the Amen pew.
Oh, really?
And they want to be seen as being the benefactors, and they want to be seen as the most active, you know, Christians in the church.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And
it's all about perception, huh?
Right, exactly. You know, they want to be the rock stars.
I think that's always interesting about perception. I always think it's interesting when I've been in conversations before where there's a bunch of women at the table and we're all sitting there talking and everybody has children but me, okay? Everybody's got a lot of them and a lot of kids. Some of them the same age, some of them twins, triplets, all kinds of combinations you ever heard of, right? You're just like, wow, I mean, I'm just, this is like a miracle marvel or something, you know? And you listen and you hear all the women talk about how great moms they are. Okay.
Right.
They're the best mom. They're the best mom.
Absolutely.
They're the best mom. They're the best mom. And then one of the moms asks, have you seen the recent Disney film? Okay.
Whichever one it was, yeah.
Yeah. In this case, it could have been, let's just say, Cinderella.
Okay, good.
And so the most recent film out right now is Cinderella, right? So one person asked, hey, have you taken your kids to see Cinderella? And oh, yeah, I took them, da-da-da, the other one, and the other one. And then the last one's like, I think the nanny did yesterday. Uh-huh, yeah. Where is my wine, for the love of God? Okay, and so, yeah, and I think it's funny because it's there's all these, like, precursors of us believing certain things, and it's like sometimes you have to do it for the love of life, you know what I mean? It can't just be because you're getting medals all the time because you're the best mom, or, it, you know, it can't be, like, you can't wear a shirt around town that says world's greatest mom, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess you could.
Well, unless it's meant tongue-in-cheek. I see those shirts every once in a while. It's a tongue-in-cheek type thing. World's greatest mom, and there's a picture of, you know, something silly on it. Yeah, then you know it's a joke.
There's a picture of Kurt Cobain's wife on there.
oh, good grief almighty. Wow.
I know, I had to go there.
You did go there.
Adorable woman. But,
yeah.
You know, so do it for the love of life. You know, so think about it. Like, what I do in my life and what Bill does in his life, you know, I'll tell you, it's not for the money. Okay, it's definitely not for the money. Yeah, we do it because we love it. We do it because we're working to consciously change the world, to open people's eyes to different perspectives, right? And to allow people to consciously understand who they are outside of church, outside of the Amen pew, outside of what mom and dad said that they should be. And we're helping people find their authentic voice. But you know what? In that message and in that work, I mean, it's like I'm not over there looking, what's in it for me? You know what I mean? I'm not over here like, okay, guys, you know, what's in it for me? Trying to help you find your authentic voice right now.
It's like, yoo-hoo, I mean, I'm the one who made all this possible, you know, give me the attention.
Alms for the poor. I mean, come on, you know,
yeah.
What's going on? And I see it all the time. And I guess because I'm doing it for the love of life, it sometimes just can be irritating to me. It can be irritating to see the other side of the coin when it's just like, man, and to me, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It just does. because it ultimately always comes out in one way or another in the way that they say something and what they do or their actions or their non-actions for that matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, we're going to talk big about it, and we never see them. You have people like
that. Until the next time that there's a public gathering where they can just bask in the adoration, right?
Oh well, yeah, then they're there. then they're definitely there. Hey, can I be on
or,
the show?
The people they never met a camera they didn't like.
Oh my god. I want to know what happens when the camera meets somebody they don't like.
Right?
Is the camera just like, oh, I don't work?
Yeah. The
memory card
busted.
Full. Memory card
there you
full.
Go. Yeah.
Camera, phone, can't take any more pictures. Storage full. Battery just died.
Yep.
Maybe that's the way it talks back. Maybe that's how it talks back.
Sorry, my battery's
sound.
Dead.
I'm showing you. I'm proving it to you. I'm going to show you right now. I've had to do that before, too, where it just ultimately dies right before you're taking one particular person's picture, and it's like, man, that just seemed odd. There's all this battery, and now there's none. You know what I mean? Maybe that's just the way it is. And I think it comes out, not having the love of it, it really comes out in all we do. It shows. It just shows. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you can't take a fart in an elevator and not smell. Okay? It is what it is. I know. It's true.
Do I touch that or don't I? I mean,
it's going to smell. And when you're reeking of not being authentic, it shows. It shows to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you and I, who normally is not clued in to, people's body language or, their energy level.
Oh, yeah.
It takes me a while to kind of, judge somebody like that. But even I usually pick up
if
somebody's just, being, like you said, inauthentic. They're it's like a used car salesman, if I can use that analogy. I mean, welcome to, Jake's Cars. I'm going to find you the best car. You're just going to love this. Look at that beauty right there. And she
awesome.
Just runs great. smile and the greased hair. Pat you on the back.
Real hard.
Right, exactly.
Real hard, like.
And, so that's kind of the image I have in mind, the used car salesman type.
I got a few images, and when we return, we're going to talk about what I see and the kind of the universal truth of, doing it for the love of it, not because of what's just in it for you. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we begin our discussion on universal truths. And really, Perspectives is a show based all on universal truth. The things that are true no matter what. I mean, there are certain things that are just the way they are. And sometimes we try to make them really difficult and really hard. And that's because we're human. And we as humans like to make things as hard as possible. Okay? And I know it because I do it a lot myself. I can take something that's quite simple and make it into something really, really extremely hard. And I do it in a few seconds.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle of stupidity how I can go from one thing to another and make a mountain out of a molehill, freak out about the mountain, walk back over the molehill, and sit on the chair and go, oh, God, what am I going to do now?
Not you, actually. I've never seen you do that day in your life.
Raise. So, we have to do things in life because we don't have to do anything. But we want to do things in life because we love it, not because we sit there and constantly evaluating what's in it for me.
Right.
What's in it for me? And I think it's interesting. I've even had a lot of people in meetings that all, the one comment they do make, what's in it for me? Like, there's no even mincing around about the words. What's in it for me?
Actually, at least they're being authentic.
That's true.
At least they're being honest.
That's true.
There's that going from you. I mean, they're selfish, like that. But hey, at least they're being honest.
I had somebody ask me, I said, it's a win-win situation. They go, what does win-win mean? I go, oh.
It means that you get what you want, I get what I want.
Yeah, so that means we both win. Well, how does that happen? I go,
easy.
I go, it's not that hard. Well, what do you mean? And I go, okay, all I'm saying is that I'm not going to be taking from you, and you're not going to be taking from me. And what I'm going to do for you, you're going to do something for me, too. I guess you haven't been in these situations very, very much, right? Because
was this a young person or
an older
person?
Okay. I said, because with that attitude, normally people don't win with you, right? I mean, just honestly. I mean, that is what it is.
Yeah, he sees, you know, I'm going to guess he's in the business world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing it's a he.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably looks at his business as sort of like war.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, you know, and I'm in it to win, and you're the enemy, and I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like the new, I'm the new orphan. In a war-torn country, I'm the new orphan in the tattered clothes.
Exactly.
And alms for the poor.
Starving.
Yeah,
you know.
That's what it is. You know, as I kind of just waltz down the cobble street. You
and
know,
and I'm certain that this guy is mega successful. I have no doubt about that.
It depends on how you define success.
Well, materially. Materially.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say, I mean, you know, this, and this is a bit of a tangent, but
tangent is a bit of a tangent on perspective.
Might as well just go all the way with
just
it.
Just go there.
And I don't know who you're talking about.
Cross the four lanes, get off the exit.
You'll tell me during the break who it is, but I'm going to guess that this guy is probably picture postcard of what's wrong with capitalism in our society.
Sure,
exactly. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm no communist, okay? I mean, I think everybody ought to, you know, make a living and enjoy the fruits of your labor, okay?
Tell us the names.
Yeah, right. You know, post them all for all to see. but you know, this guy is probably the picture in the dictionary. You know, he's the reason.
Under Dick. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Short for Richard, by the way, for those who are wondering.
See what I'm saying? But, you know, yeah. You're right. It's kind of the poster child of what's going on in society.
Poster child. That's what I was trying to say.
And I am definitely not against making money. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there is a level of consideration, and there's a level of giving back. And I guess because I've always been a giver my whole life, and some people could say, oh, you've always been walked on your whole life. But because I've always been a giver, I don't see it as walked on. I see that if I have the option to help somebody, I help, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all going to come full circle around.
Karma.
It might not happen from, so for example, I might help somebody, but they in turn might not help me. And let's take that tangent real quick, because I think this is what actually causes a lot of people to lose the love of the game and to always think about what's in it for them. And I think this is what is the reason for that, is that I think it's funny how, let's say you give to somebody, whatever, your time, money, notoriety, you give them something, right? You give them something.
Right.
Okay. And we expect, because of the concept and the theory of reciprocity, right, that I give somebody something and they're going to give me something back. Okay. I mean, you know, like you go to the grocery store, you buy groceries, you get them, you pay them the money, you get the groceries, they get the money, right? Okay. So you kind of figure, if I'm going into a business thing like that, I get something back. And we also think about that when we're dealing with individual people.
Okay.
Okay. But the funny thing about it is that the system isn't set up that way. So the system isn't set up where, okay, I do good for Bill and the Bill turns around and does something for me. Yes, that might be the case in certain situations,
uh-huh.
But the universal system is set up to be the fact that it might not be the direct person that you help, but somebody's going to help.
Right,
you.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that we get angry and we get down on the fact when we're in a situation like that and somebody, there's no reciprocity, right? They're not giving back anything. And so we feel used.
Right.
We feel angry. We feel used. We feel like, well, Jesus, you know what I mean? I mean, I just did this for them and they can't even do the smallest thing for me. Okay. And we get angry and,
yep.
You know, with that angry, we get mad and we start saying, well, I'm not going to get used again. I'm tired of getting used. John used me on that deal. And, you know, and when you start accumulating various people that are takers, right? We start seeing the world as that, and you start basically hoarding what you do have.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, nobody's going to give. Everybody's out there to get me. Everybody, you know, my precious.
Well,
you know?
I mean, that's the basis of Charles Dickens' novel, the Christmas Carol. You know, the central character, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of course, the name Scrooge has become, you know, basically the byword for somebody who is just hard-hearted, and so, but I think that's how you get hard-hearted. Is you get, you know, maybe somebody doesn't return a favor, or maybe somebody takes advantage of you, and from now on, for all time, that's it. For, you know, I am not helping anybody. I'm not going to give anybody the chance to screw me. I'm gonna do the screwing. It becomes a law of the jungle, you know, type thing.
I'm going to screw them all. And you're right about that. And that's the thing is that in the beginning when I had, you know, I could be like the biggest Scrooge. I mean, seriously. I mean, I've had a lot of takers in my life. But at the same time, I had to step back at one point and realize the universal law doesn't mean that just because I help somebody doesn't mean that they're going to turn around and help me. If I help somebody, I'm not even realizing that someone else is helping me at the same time. And it just happens that way. And a lot of times, because we're so focused on the expectation of I give John XYZ, John should give me back this. So we have like our eyes like blindfolded, like just looking straight at John, waiting for John to jump in and help out. And he doesn't. He doesn't do it.
Right.
But somebody off on the side that we're not even paying attention to is helping us. Right.
Right.
And sometimes those people are the ones that never say anything about it. They're not the ones that are, hey, Ashley. Hey, that was me. That was me helping you. Okay, I just want to tell you real quick, you know, and we've all had people do that
too. Sure, sure, yeah.
We've all done that
too. Just remember, I'm the one that helped you, you know, so.
I've done that before when I was younger. You know, I've done that where you sit there and you say something about it. Like, one of the biggest examples that happened to me recently, this last Christmas holiday season, I sent out some gifts, you know, around the United States to some of my friends that don't live in this state.
Like you normally do.
Like I normally do. And, you know, it started getting to me because about half of the people I sent them to didn't email, didn't text, didn't call, didn't do anything.
Not a thank you. Nothing.
Not a hey, screw you. Nothing. And I started worrying, though, if they, because I ordered them from a company, you know, like an order. So I started worrying, did they actually get out there? Did they actually send it?
Which has happened to me before, by the way.
They didn't send it.
Like I'll go online and order something and it didn't make it there.
See, and that's what scared me is that did I spend this money and think that they got whatever I sent them. And so, you know, my mind starts playing tricks with me. You know, it's kind of like the idea where somebody doesn't call you back and you start thinking they must be in the hospital when in actuality they just didn't call you back. So there we are. I'm thinking about this stuff and, you know, the 26th, 27th, the 28th, we're almost there at, you know, we're almost there at the turn of the year. And I decided to text a couple people and I text three people and I still had a bunch more to text, but I text three people and one person's like, oh my God, yeah, I did. Sorry. You know, thanks a lot. You know, and then somebody else texted something. And then that's when I realized, stop. Everybody's received everything. You're not going to get a, hey, thank you from everybody.
Right.
And it's okay. And at first, it kind of pissed me off because I was like, man.
Kind of ruined your holiday spirit, right?
It was kind of like, that's kind of rude. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I'm not justifying the fact that what they did is right. But I'm saying that we have to be able to do things and to give without having anything come back. And I realized it was okay. And I stepped back and I didn't reach out to the other group of people or the other group of people because I knew if these people got theirs, then they got theirs, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's okay that they didn't say thank you because you know what? They didn't tell me that I had to send anything, right? And so for the love of the game, for the love of for those people, I sent it. I've never sent anything. And so I've quietly sent those things, never said anything, and I know that they received it. And there's a lot of people on a day-to-day basis that do things for us. They don't say it. They don't go around broadcasting it to everybody. Just like that, though, on the flip side, there's always going to be someone that does something for you and is going to broadcast it because you need
Absolutely.
To know about it, right? Because they
Absolutely.
Need to gain from helping you.
Yep.
And the same goes for all of us. And dealing with this whole concept of reciprocity is that, you know, we see the system as supposed to be equal, and we see it in a false sense of equality, meaning we give to one person, we expect that one person to give back. We give to one person, we get back from another person, but it's not that same person. If you give to hundreds of people, you'll get back from hundreds of people, but it's probably not going to be those same hundreds of people. And it's interesting how we kind of miss out on that universal truth, being that it's not going to come direct from the source that you already gave it to. When we return, we'll be talking more about doing it for the love of the game and being able to understand when someone's not. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking tonight about a universal truth. It's a universal truth, a situation of doing what you do because you love to do it, or doing it because you want to know what's in it for you. And right before the break, I was talking about the concept of reciprocity. And when we give to somebody, or we help somebody out, we expect that same person to turn around and give us something or to help us out. And it never really works like that usually. I mean, occasionally it does, but it really doesn't. For the most part, you help somebody, somebody else is going to help you, but it's not going to be that same person. And sometimes we keep like those horse blinders on where we're constantly just focused on that one person. That one person's got to do something, show up, step up to the plate. And when they're not doing that, we're not focusing on the fact that other people are helping us. You know, and it's interesting when people are doing things just because what's in it for them, it shows, right? It shows. And I think, though, on the flip side, when you do it because you love it, it's always going to work out best. It's always going to work out best. Things are always going to gel when you do things altruistically.
Right. Well, and, you know, here's the thing, Ashley. You know, most people, regardless if you have religious beliefs or not, most people have a sense of a higher power. Okay, there's something, you know, to the universe. Okay, whether you choose to call it God, quote unquote, you know, or you know, Buddha, or you know, whatever. Okay, and most people have the sense of a higher power, and you know, most people get something spiritually for their soul out of doing something for others, and doing it for a higher power. Okay. I think it satisfies a need in the human soul, in the human spirit, okay? So it could be, you know, donating, you know, a portion of your paycheck to, you know, charity of your choice, all right? It could be taking part in some sort of charitable activity. It could be something as simple as, you know, maybe babysitting the neighbor's kids, you know, and let them going out on the town for a night. You know, there's lots of ways.
That's cool. Yeah.
You know, that you can... you know, give to, you know, of yourself to others.
And in that situation with the babysitting thing, don't look toward the neighbors to babysit your kids. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't do it and be like, next week, okay, we babysat your kids. Now here's ours. We're going out. Bye.
You See you later. Gotta go.
Because, you know, true friendship is not a balance sheet. You know, it's not, you know, okay, you know, here's the debit side, here's the credit side. And,
right.
And it's not an equal check and balance.
That's so true. And a lot of times we get that confused.
Oh,
we get
yeah.
that confused a lot.
Yes.
I've even gotten it confused, too. And then there's also the whole flip side, too. So let me stress this a little bit in a good positive way, is that there are some times that you're going to be around people that will push every button and people that are using you.
No
okay?
kidding.
You know, they are using you. And the thing is that you have to sit there and recognize, because they can't make you do anything. Okay.
Sure.
I've loaned out the money. I've done all kinds of stuff. And no, they didn't have a gun at the bank with me, holding it to my head, telling me that I had to loan them the money. You know, in the same account, you know, they didn't have a gun to my head saying that I had to let them borrow my car. But I did all this stuff because I felt like I should. But there comes a time when you need to sit there and honestly look a little bit about what's going on. Okay? And so sometimes you might be spending time with a lot of people that are all in it for them.
Sure.
And you need to recognize, why are you spending so much time with those types of people?
Birds of a feather.
Flock together.
Yep.
Are you part of that? Are you part of the flip side where it's all what's in it for you? I mean, and I think that's interesting, because there's a lot of people out there that might not realize that that's really the position they come from on a constant basis. And the only few times that I've ever thought that way, it didn't go well. It's like these expectations that you have. And you expect things to happen. And I like to go into things very free-flowing. Like, I recently just got this email right before we started tonight's show. And I'm going to an event. And I guess it's a table. It's a large table, a charity kind of ball event. And that's
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
And this
and,
person
and
was
dressed up to the nines.
Yeah. And this person was introducing everybody via email, which is sweet. But again, I was kind of looking at it, and when I read over my bio, again, it's sweet, but it's so off base. I mean, like, you know, it's just, there wasn't a lot of meat in it, okay? So basically, you got my name. And I was thinking, why have all these expectations? You know, just say, hey, I invited some random friends here. None of y'all know each other, probably. It's going to be fine. I'm the connection here, okay? And I think a lot of times we try to overdo things in life. It's like, you don't have to add so much backstory to a situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bill, like, if you and I are going to go out one night and I invite like 3 or 4 friends, I'm not going to sit there and give you the background story
right
on where all these people are from, and because you're not going to give a crap anyway, Okay.
Probably not.
You might later on after you get to know them go, oh, I'll find out a little bit more about them. But you don't need to know that now.
Right.
And I think a lot of times people want to know all that more. You know, if I'm going to get involved with this, well, I need to know where this is going. And I need to understand that. And it's not, it's, and they forget the universal truth that as things progress, things are provided. You don't always know all the answers, and you're not supposed to know all the answers. That makes life pretty dull. I mean, if you and I knew every single answer, every single thing that's going to happen, and you and I know what's going to happen exactly as is going to happen for the next 35 years, well, I mean, some of it you're...
That's actually kind of scary.
Some of it's kind of like, okay, yeah. You know, I'd like to know some of it ahead of time, but for the most part...
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to know.
It's like if I'm going to die in a fiery crash on the highway 2 weeks from now, I don't know if I'd want to know that.
Damn, Bill. Well, Bill's not going to die in a fiery crash because I already know his fate.
Okay,
no,
well, good. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome. I'll make that a universal truth. You will not die in a fiery crash. So you have to do things altruistically, and that's when things work best. And I figured out that in life, anytime I go into a situation and I'm honest and I'm straight up and I'm authentic about who I am, I don't try to mince words, I don't try to downplay, I don't try to wallflower, okay? Because downplaying and wallflowering it out is the same thing, okay? When you try to downplay yourself and you try to downplay what you're good at and you try to, like, make yourself meek and quiet... When you don't really want to be that person and you want to be kind of more boisterous and out there, be yourself. Because the thing is that by holding back, how you're holding back in the way of your mannerisms could be misconstrued for other reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, like you're hiding something. You know what I'm saying? Like people don't realize a lot of times, and this is something I do stress to people that are like introverts and extroverts. They go, introverts act differently. And you have to understand that just because they're quiet doesn't mean they're hiding something. But in the same account is that when you go into a meeting of any sort, you just got to be honest, because if you're honest about what you want, it may or may not work, but at least you're not getting into the wrong situation.
Right. Because, you know, once you start wrong, it's very difficult to kind of right the ship, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because what's the old saying, Ashley? You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
That's true.
And so if you come across as somebody as, you know, that you know, used car salesman type, you know, you're only there just to get something out of them, then that impression tends to stick.
You know, it's funny you brought that up. I had the other day I had somebody ask me if I knew somebody.
Yeah.
A person's, this girl.
And probably the answer is yes, knowing you. You are the social maven.
As I nod over here quietly on our non-TV show, so y'all don't have any clue what I'm doing here. So yeah, I'm nodding. Yes, I do know the person. And it was interesting because when I see somebody use people once, if I see somebody use another person again, and I see it happen again, that's it.
So three strikes and you're out?
Yeah. And okay. I've seen this particular person use people again and again and again.
Because there's no saying, you know, two times is coincidence, three is a pattern.
Yeah. And this person was telling me, you know, how great this person is. And I was like, okay. And I did not say anything. And I said, okay, great. I'll
You didn't? Mm-hmm. That's a...
Always quiet.
Know, start.
I don't ever talk crap about people. I just hold it in.
Right.
On those situations.
Which is the best thing to do.
Yeah, because, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you never know. Somebody could have grown up and turned over a new leaf and realized and right their wrongs, you know, and all this. I mean, crazy things.
Had their Paul on the road to Damascus moment, you know, got struck by lightning, whatever.
Yeah, you know. And everything changed, and now they're working for the church or something. Anyway, however, yeah, and it was interesting because this person is, it's all these claims with no reality. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lots of claims. And it was funny because the same person had actually borrowed some very expensive jewelry from a friend of mine and basically pawned that off as their own and didn't even bother bringing it back. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, yeah, like stuff like
that.
Yes, people do that kind of stuff. I need to borrow this. Don't bring it back. And my friend was all distraught because she kept calling me, should I call her and ask her for it? Should I call her on it? I mean, I really need that back. I mean, this went on for months. And I finally was just like, you need to call her. If you want the stuff back, call her.
Yeah, but I was going to say, by that time, it's going to have to be, you know, the ball's in your court.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I feel weird about it. I go, why? Because she borrowed stuff from yours. And she did it like, it was like one of those things. I need it, like, call her immediately. I need it today. I need it today. I can't wait. You know, and she was like, oh, God. She's like, I'm going to be on this TV show or whatever, and I need to borrow this stuff, you know. And so she's like, okay, well, I'll rush back to my house. I'm at a, you know, yoga deal, and I'm about an hour from the house, but could you give me an hour and a half, and I'll be there? I mean, that was that kind of thing. And then the girl waits 2 months and doesn't even call her. And my friend's over there, I don't know what to do. And so when I finally said, just call her, well, she, you know, she didn't answer. She called again. I said, leave a text message and say you need her, your stuff back right now. Okay. So she texts her and she's like, I think she came around like the next week and dropped it off in her like inside her house, like her post box, like that goes inside her house. But I was thinking, I was like, gosh, and it's interesting when you do recognize that people are doing this around you, you have to be honest with yourself and realize the level of that. If you see someone else being taken advantage of that you care about, you need to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
You got to help. You can't let somebody be taken advantage of that's a friend of yours and be okay with that. Again, that goes back to doing it because you love it. Doing it because you love life. I mean, like, I've said some things to people that I normally wouldn't say. I mean, I ran into a friend recently that is separated from his wife, and my first thought, it was just like, it was a gut reaction. I said, hey, I go, be really careful, you know? And I go, because I know in my heart of hearts that most men, when they're separating from a wife, they're separating because they're already having sex with another woman.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's almost 90-something percent true. Okay.
Yep, yep, yep.
Unless the woman is crazy and awful person to be around. She's still a woman and she's living there and they're probably having some sort of sex. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if a man's getting sex somewhere else and a lot of it and the gaze starts turning, and I said, be careful. I said, you're still married. You got kids. You don't want to lose like custody. You don't even know if you're really in love with this other person. So be careful. And I feel okay with making those comments to my friends, because if I didn't say it, I wouldn't really be a friend. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If I didn't say, hey, be careful, I don't want to see something bad happen to you, I wouldn't be a real friend. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about how to do what's right and how to love doing it while you're doing it. Stay tuned, because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about doing things for the love of it, doing things for the love of doing things, not because of what's exactly in it for you. You know, and right before their break, we were talking about how when we do things altruistically, they tend to work out best. You know, when we do things for the right reasons, with our heart in the right place, things usually turn out very well. And I think it's interesting, too, when, you know, on the flip-flop, when we do something out of having a grudge, or because, or if it's not coming from a place of happiness or a place of power, it becomes a problem. And it's all about the reasons why we do things. There's the reason behind and the inherent reason behind doing things is so important to the outcome of what actually takes place. And we were just talking about this on break, is that, you know, it's really a universal truth that when it comes down to it, you know, when it comes really down to the specifics of it, when we do things because we believe in the process and we're not looking for instant gratifications, things seem to work out best.
You know, and I think it's kind of the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Okay. If you have that attitude, if you have that spirit, if you do things for other people without necessarily expecting an immediate return, you know, return on your investment, if you will, then, you know, generally speaking, you're going to get it back. Maybe not right then, maybe not from that same person. But I think, like we were saying earlier, birds of a feather flock together, and people who have that sort of, you know, charitable spirit tend to associate with each other.
And I agree with you. And I think you have to put yourself out there as well, because there was a time in my life where I know this might sound antithetical to who I am, but there was a time in my life where I didn't feel like going out and meeting people. You know what I mean?
Holy, whoa.
I know.
Stop the presses.
I know.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I don't believe that for one second.
There was a few years
I think you're pulling my leg.
Where I just hated going out. I hated doing things. I mean, it was like pulling teeth to get me to go to an event. I just didn't want to do it. And I think it was because there was a time period where I was very angry about being taken advantage of. Okay. And like I was talking about that earlier, nobody's whole, I mean, unless you're in like somebody's really holding you up, but I'm talking about like your friends or people in your life aren't really holding the gun to your head to make them, to make you give them money or to make them do things for you. And you have to realize that we have to take ownership in things that we do, right? We have to take ownership, and it sucks. Because especially when we feel like we got duped, and now we got to take ownership on being duped, and then we start like crucifying ourselves right there on the side here, you know, talking about how awful we are. But we got to step back and be like, hey, okay, hold on a second. What am I doing? Look at the big picture, and you know, like what Bill said, you know, do unto others as you have done unto you. And if we look at the big picture, we realize that reciprocity really begins not necessarily with who you're giving to, but just in general in your life. And also realizing that when we do things because we love it, it shows. And vice versa is the same. I mean, when people do things because it's all about them, it reeks like bad cologne. It just really stinks.
Right.
And when you're, you don't, and you got to be careful about the people you're around, because if you're always concentrated with those types of people, that's a problem. I remember this was back, you know, around that time, this was years ago when, you know, I was kind of like somewhat antisocial. And I remember like hanging out with a few people that were very financially successful, but they wouldn't help a soul. They wouldn't help a soul. If they saw a man and his child walking down the side of the road in the pouring rain, they wouldn't help him.
And that's a shame. That's a shame. Now, I will make a quick confession. I know we're running out of time. I will make a quick confession. I very rarely will give money to a panhandler on the street. Only because in this day and age, you know, you can't be too careful, you know, about you know who that person is. But I do, you know, give money to, you know, think places like United Way and other charities.
Well, that's good.
That will feed, you know, people in need and, you know, clothe them, stuff like that.
Well, and I think it goes back to the concept of giving, like you said. I mean, I actually gave to a homeless man last night.
That's fine. I mean, if you choose to do that, yeah.
Well, I was sitting there and I was outside eating, and it was really great alfresco weather, you know, and it was really nice. And I saw a man, and he was going through, the cigarette columns where you put the cigarette in. It's like in a big plastic tube,
yes,
outside of like, you know, businesses and that sort of thing. And he pulled off the top, and he was looking through the bottom, looking for cigarettes that weren't that smoked, you know, like he could re-smoke them. And I'm not a smoker, and I don't agree with cigarette smoking, but you know, I had $5, and I felt like heck. You know, if I wanted a cigarette, if I was in those shoes, I gave him $5, and I said, hey, go get some cigarettes, man. He's like, yeah, thank you so much. But I mean,
ones that haven't been smoked yet.
I wasn't expecting anything from this man, okay? And I did it altruistically because I knew that if I was in that position, I'd hope somebody would do the same for me. You know what I mean? And I'm not promoting cigarette smoking on this show. But what I am saying is that when you see somebody that needs some help, whether it's a friend, a foe, somebody you don't know.
Right.
I mean, you have to sit there and check yourself, even if it's Mother Earth. I mean, I pick up other people's trash on a routine basis, okay? And I do it because, and sometimes it gets in the way. Like, sometimes I have to go pick up stuff, and then I have to go wash my hands or do whatever. You know, because it's just like, oh, God, you know what I mean? And I have friends or my husband that's walking with me or with me going, oh, my God, what are you doing? What's going on over here, you know? I mean, on the way out to the studio earlier, you know, I picked up a couple of beer bottles that were sitting there. And no, that was not my Dos Equis, okay? I wasn't drinking Dos Equis before I walked into the studio tonight. But, you know, it was all over there, and I put it in the trash can. Yeah. And so sit there and realize the things that you want to do. And if you're not happy with your life, figure out what you do love doing. Because it's not about what it's in it for you. Because by doing altruistic things and by being honest and being authentic, things happen for you. It's just the basis of reality. That's one of those universal truths. And I think that makes perfect sense. You know, Bill, this is a great show, and I hope that people were able to understand, you know, the concept of really realizing when you love something.
Do it for the love of it and give of yourself. And you'll find that regardless of what material success you get out of it, you'll be a lot happier person.
You will, and things always come your way, too. When you do things authentically and you're doing it for the right reason and because your heart is in it, you will always succeed. It is a universal truth. It has to happen that way. Stay tuned. We got another new show for you tonight. Some perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in 3 shakes.